There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines and top debate. This is The Grill, live from Barasti with Tom Urquhart on DubaiEye 103.8.
Live from Barasti, indeed. We're watching the early kickoff in the Premier League from West Ham man. Dale Gordon is alongside us. Dale, what's the latest?
Well, the latest is still West Ham 1, Chelsea 0, and fully deserved as well, I must say, Tom, that Chelsea, Conte has put on his last two substitutes as well. Obviously, Pedro joined the fray after 45 minutes to join the second half. Alonso's gone off, Moses is on, and also Williams obviously joined as their third substitute. We mentioned at the start when Arnautovic scored the only goal of the game, and he dropped his shoulder and whipped it into the far corner and ran into the crowd and obviously jumped into the crowd and picked up that yellow card. But he's been substituted as well, Tom, on 69 minutes. So he's off. Sacco's on as well. But to be fair, you know, West Ham look very, very comfortable. You know, for me, it's been a very poor Chelsea performance. They've not really shown anything. But I will say everything that has gone into the West Ham box, Adrian has had safe hands today and not dropped a single thing. Could be the commentator's worst nightmare there.
You've jinxed them.
We got football going on very close to us as well, down in Abu Dhabi. FIFA Club World Cup is ongoing. Let's get the latest. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, first of two matches this afternoon. The quarter-final stage of the 2017 FIFA Club World Cup. It's Pachuca of Mexico taking on Wydad Casablanca. Wydad Casablanca, of course, from Morocco. Your African Champions League winners of 2017. We're into the second half on this one. Up there in our lane, Tom, I can tell you it's Pachuca 0, Wydad Casablanca 0. The late kickoff, 8:30, down in Abu Dhabi in the capital. It is Al Jazeera against Urawa Red Diamonds. Urawa Red Diamonds from Japan. They are your Asian Champions League winners, and Al Jazeera are your local representatives. They defeated Auckland City 1-0 a few nights back to book their place in the quarterfinal, and the winner of that match awaits for Real Madrid come Wednesday night.
Real Madrid are in action in round about an hour and 15 or so. At 7:15 local time here in the UAE, they're taking on Sevilla before they get on a plane to come out to the UAE. There has been an early in La Liga, Getafe taking on Eibar, and it finished with not a single goal. 0-0 in that one. Let's go to the Premier League then. Loads of games to look forward to. You can listen to Newcastle against Leicester City. That's our late kickoff at 9:30 live here on DubaiEye 103.8. You've got five games kicking off at 7 o'clock, Swansea City against West Brom, Huddersfield Town entertain Brighton and Hove Albion, Crystal Palace are at home to Bournemouth, and Burnley taking on Watford. Our feature game, though, is
Tottenham Hotspur against Stoke City at Wembley, and it's a big game this for Spurs. They've had a wretched run in the league of late, one win in six, and our commentator this afternoon for our featured match is a good friend of the show. He joins us on a regular basis on a Saturday evening. It is indeed the one and only Adam Bridge. A very good evening, or afternoon as it is over there in the UK, Adam.
Hello, I hope it's nice and warm there because it's blooming freezing here.
Delighted so Adam is to be joining us. It is warm, it's nice, we're outside, Adam.
Could you just pass me the suntan lotion, will you, mate?
Listen, Adam, last time I spoke to you, I'm right in saying that you're a West Ham fan, so you should be happy this afternoon.
I am. I've got an eye on it, actually, and we're looking all right. I think we're fairly solid at the minute, to be fair. I've got no complaints. I don't think Chelsea are at their very best today, but I think what we saw against Man City last week, because I had quite safely banked on an 8-0 at 70-1 last Sunday. I was quite encouraged by what I saw for 65 minutes, and maybe there's a bit of organisation in that team after all.
Yeah, indeed. 9 minutes to go at the London Stadium. West Ham 1, Chelsea 0. The featured match, though, a little later, in about an hour's time, is Tottenham against Stoke. Tell me this, Adam. What on earth has gone on from a league form perspective to Spurs? They looked absolutely imperious in that 4-1 demolition of Liverpool. What was that, last month? The start of last month? What has gone wrong?
Well, it's a tale of two sides, isn't it? Because since then, Spurs have gone on this downward spiral, whereas Liverpool have gone up and up and up. Pochettino has claimed this week that two of the reasons for the problem. One is the lack of early recruitment in the transfer window, that all their deals were done in the last 2 weeks of August, which he finds fairly unacceptable and wants to sort out. I'm not too sure you can probably blame that for that downturn in form. The other thing he's blaming is the fact that teams come to Wembley, and for them, it's a cup final, which... You know, know, again, is another poor excuse, you feel. It's the first time that Pochettino's really kind of been put under any pressure to explain such a poor run. But I think if you look historically, November is generally never a fantastic month for Spurs. They've only picked up 2 points out of the last 12. As you said, just one win in the last six games. And it's coincided with Ali looking a little bit off colour, with Eriksen not being perfect, with Kane struggling through with a bit of injury. But what it's also coincided with is the departure of Alderweireld, who's obviously been out injured since the beginning of November. And again, statistically, if you go through, when he's not in that Spurs team, they struggle to keep clean sheets and they struggle to win games of football. It's that simple.
Stoke City, the opposition this afternoon. Again, it's been a strange old season under Mark Hughes this season, I've got to be honest. I think that the writing is maybe on the wall. Has he taken, do you feel, Mark Hughes Stoke as far as he possibly can?
I think you have to put in context where Stoke are and who they are, and the fact that, you know, they've been consistent top 10 finishers prior to last season since they arrived in the Premier League. This is their worst start ever. You know, they're looking for back-to-back wins today for the first time since January, and I think that probably sums up their inconsistency. He did make a lot of changes in the summer, bringing in the likes of Zouma and the likes of Vimmer, who start both today as part of their back three. What he has struggled to do, though, having spent big money on the likes of Berahino, not really delivered for him. You look at a couple of the other signings he's made who haven't quite come out firing. What we are seeing is Shaqiri is getting back to some kind of form. And I think one of the things, I listened to an interview with Charlie Adam the other day, and he was saying about teams who, when they're struggling, keep changing personnel. And he says what's quite interesting at Stoke is, even though they've been struggling, Mark Hughes has stuck with that personnel, because there's almost an element of, you know, you've got me into this mess, now let's get ourselves out of it. I think there are worse sides in the Premier League than Stoke. He's a good manager. Is there a shelf life? Some are saying 3 years is a shelf life now. He's obviously done more than that, and he's been successful for them.
Give us team news then. What are Spurs going with this afternoon as they look to try and get their club, I guess their league domestic campaign, back on track?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You finish top of your Champions League group and everything looks really rosy, but they're losing ground at the moment, as we said, on the Champions League for next season, currently sitting in sixth place. It's just the one change, actually, from last Saturday. It's an enforced one as well. Davinson Sanchez, I guess when you've lost your best centre-half through injury, the last thing you want is your new signing smacking someone in the face with a forearm and getting themselves banned. But that's exactly what Davinson Sanchez did. So Winks has come in for him. So Dyer's going to drop into the back line today. The full-backs are Trippier and Davis. So they're playing a flat back four today. Dyer and Vertonghen, the two centre-halves. Then Dembele and Winks, the holding midfielders. Son, Ali and Eriksen are all lined up behind Harry Kane, of course. And the large contingent of those were rested during midweek. I mean, it's an excellent bench when you have a look at it, as to what he's got as well. The likes of Llorente, Lamela, Sissoko and Rose, and Aurier as well. So there's strength in depth there. So that's why I don't really buy that late recruitment excuse from Pochettino as well. As for Stoke, a couple of changes for them today. Tom Edwards comes in and gets the start, as does Kevin Vrimmer, of course, the former Spurs man. That's because Martin Zindi's not in the squad. He's out injured. And Peter Crouch drops to the bench. Can you believe it? When you're the top scorer for Stoke this season, coming off the bench, he's back there again, because when he started, he's probably not quite delivered. So it's a back three for them today, and that's going to be Zouma, Shawcross and Vimmer, with Edwards, Allen, Fletcher and Peters across the middle, and then Shaqiri, Diouf alongside Choupo-Moting up top, with the likes of Crouch, as I mentioned. Not a bad bench for them. Berahino's there as well, of course, who I think we're on about, was it 20 months since he last scored a Premier League goal? So you never know. Maybe he'll put that right at some point today. Especially if Spurs tried to buy him once, of course. In fact, not just once. They tried to buy him four times.
It's unbelievable. What a run. What an awful run for Sadio Mane and Berahino. Maybe, just maybe, today is his day. Listen, Adam, before we let you go, we'd be remiss of us not to talk about the day of all days tomorrow afternoon, the superest of Super Sundays. It's Liverpool-Everton, followed by that mouth-watering Manchester derby. Let's skip to that one, if we can, first and foremost. What are you expecting tomorrow from this Manchester derby? Is it a simple case that United simply have to win to keep their title aspirations alive?
Well, the first thing I'm expecting is some snow. That's going to be the first thing that may well scupper Derby Day, because apparently we are going to get absolutely deluged tonight. So let's just keep an eye on that one for both those games tomorrow, as they're both, of course, in the northwest. We said last week, you know, we touched briefly on the United-Arsenal game last Saturday, and I said that I felt Mourinho may go a little bit more open, because he knew that actually out of all the teams that he can beat, Arsenal were the ones, and that actually he had to win to keep that pressure up on Manchester City. It's exactly what he did. He got the victory he wanted. I don't think you'll see that tomorrow. I think if he gets City on his turf and he comes away with a 0-0 or a 1-1, I think Mourinho will be happy. So I think, again, we'll revert back to caution first tomorrow. He's got to find a way of quieting down that front line. And the question is, does he have the defenders that have got the mobility to do that? And that's the bit that worries me. Are they mobile enough to be able to close down that Manchester City forward line? That's the concern. So I think he'll play cautious. He'll play the three. He'll play the two wing-backs. He may well also then play, say, Darmian, for example, at left wing-back, and then also Young in front of him to double up. That wouldn't surprise me tomorrow if Mourinho was incredibly cautious.
Adam, we're going to need to press you for a prediction for the game in question this afternoon. Tottenham against Stoke, who's going to win it?
The last three have been 4-0 to Spurs. I don't see 4-0 today, but I think we'll see a 2-0 win.
Looking forward to that. We're going to chalk that one up onto the Adam Bridge board. I understand that you're watching it alongside Gary O'Reilly this afternoon, is that right?
I am indeed, yes. He's in full voice. He's full of cheer. He's as cheeky as ever, and it will be hard work to shut him up at times, but we'll do our best.
I love this. I've just been going through his bio online, and it's not often you see this phrase. He says, obviously, Gary O'Reilly, former professional footballer for Spurs, Brighton and Hove Albion, Crystal Palace, Birmingham City and Grace Athletic, as a central defender and as an occasional goalkeeper. There's not that many of them around at the moment, are there?
No, there aren't too many, and that's only because sometimes his central defending wasn't as good, so therefore they were just... Oh, no, he can be a goalkeeper too.
Brilliant, Adam Bridge. Listen, very quickly as well, I love your predictions. Manchester Derby tomorrow, what is it?
A draw. I think it will be a draw tomorrow. I think it'll be 1-1.
1-1. Adam Bridge, listen, we look forward to your commentary. We're with you in about 45 minutes, Adam. We'll let you get in place, last minute prep, and then we'll be joining yourself from 7 p.m. Spurs against Stoke. For now, Adam Bridge, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Big thanks to Mr. Bridge there, Dale Gordon alongside us. Did you ever pull on the gloves? Did you ever have to go in sticks ever?
Well, putting the gloves, washing up gloves, that was about it really. but no, listen, I couldn't do that. I mean, not only did I have a new hip later in my life, but I also had a dislocated shoulder, which I had to have repaired as well in my time at Rangers.
Are they a different breed, goalkeepers?
Oh, well, you can ask this gentleman to my left of me here.
I was trying not to, that's why I was...
you did say goalkeeper. Sorry, the microphone's gone off again. I think we can't say anything. I'll just put my hand over my mouth before I speak to you.
We are a different breed.
Are they cut from a different cloth, are they?
Oh, they most definitely are. I think Chris has had the pleasure of playing in the same team as a Mr. Freddie Canute, and thank God he was actually on his team, because I can imagine that Chris would have probably been picking out a few if he was against him.
Absolutely none. I would have been picking out none, Dale. You've not seen me in bins. They call me the cat for a reason. No, they don't. There's a reason.
Enjoy sleeping.
It's got nothing to do with his whiskers on his chin.
There's a reason that I did not make it professional, unfortunately. But yeah, you're right. Goalkeepers, they are an odd bunch. I've been very fortunate to interview a few in the past, and oddballs.
Well, there's a goalkeeper who's playing this afternoon at the London Stadium. He's had an outstanding game. Joe Hart was dropped before the game under some indifferent performances, and Adrian has been absolutely outstanding. Chelsea, as we go into adding on time now, just past the 90th minute, Chelsea have really, really pressured West Ham within the last sort of like 6 or 7 minutes. Morata had probably the best chance of the game on 84 minutes, just dropped over his shoulder, and expected him to do a lot better, and he hard volley just outside the post. And Hazard also as well, very, very similar chance to Arnautovic as well, who's now left the field, been substituted on 70 minutes. And Hazard again just came on his left foot, tried to curl it top corner. Conte's reaction on the touchline to say, like, it's not going to be our day. And it's now into 5 minutes. The referee's put up 5 minutes of added time. So Chelsea have pinned West Ham right back in their half now and trying to force it now just to try and get an equaliser, which for me will not be enough.
Great little piece we just saw a minute ago of Stuart Pearce, psycho, coming storming out of the dugout, because as the ball came off, and he launched it up into row Z or something like that.
I've been on the receiving end of one of those launches.
It probably explains why there's been 5 minutes of added on time added to this match. It's nervy times here.
If the referee had seen that, he probably would have taken issue with it.
Yeah, can he book it?
Yeah, he could have booked him.
Assistant coach?
Could have sent him off into to the stands.
You can still do that with assistants?
It's called taking one for the team, Tom.
I'm noticing as well, I don't know where you boys sit on this, I've always railed against it. Now, I appreciate it's busy times, London right now, the festive period, getting a tube and getting out of the stadium's tough. Why on earth have people left that stadium early? It's madness. 4 minutes to go, your team's winning 1-0, there's so many empty seats there.
Chelsea fans.
Well, yeah, listen, probably. Yeah, that's a fair point.
But they're not, though, are they? I mean, you can see that. I mean, unless Chelsea fans have got, unless Chelsea got about 60,000 supporters in the stand, there, Tom. I mean, come on. But no, I'm totally understand. I mean, they're a football club, Chris, that are struggling at the moment, at the wrong end of the table. They've just appointed a new manager, in David Moyes. They're just. Fabregas has come onto one on the edge of the box there, just blasted it over the crossbar. Could be Chelsea's last chance, actually. And I totally agree with you, Chris. You know, it's times of, you know, players under pressure. Arnautovic, I've been under pressure. You know, he's been a little bit of a failure at the moment for West Ham, and obviously their supporters haven't seen the best of him. Looks like he's going to score the winner. You know, he's brought him off with obviously a standing ovation as well. Stuart Pearce has volleyed the ball over the stands, which is now in Liverpool Street Station. So, you know, and there's supporters who are leaving early. And I'm sure the ones who stand behind will give their team an absolutely unbelievable
This has been more like it today.
You know, and you know, it's been, you could say it's been coming, really. And if Slaven Bilic was still being charged, would they have got the performance? Probably not. This is the reason why, you know, the two Davids are sitting in the director's box with the, you know, and made a decision to relieve Slaven Bilic of his duties and appoint David Moyes. And if they can hold on for this win, it would give them an unbelievable boost now going into the festive period.
We are watching the final moments of the early kickoff in the Premier League this afternoon. Why did they just kick that ball away? Why did they just hold on to it? If you'd like to have your say, you can text us on 4001. Our feature game is Tottenham against Stoke. That's coming up at 7 o'clock this evening. So let's hear from the respective managers, Pochettino and Mark Hughes. Let's get the latest from them as we lead into a break.
Teams may be frustrating them, and they're finding it more difficult to break teams down. And they're not possibly free-flowing as they have been in the past in certain games, certainly last year when we always went up against them. It was always the most difficult game, we felt, going up against Spurs. For the most part, if you take Man City, we've gone up about two or three levels this year. If you look at all the other top teams, for the most part, we've always done okay with them, but when we've gone up against Spurs, it's always a team that causes more problems. It felt, anyway, from our point of view, they were the team that gave us more problems than maybe the other top six.
If we compare us with ourselves in the last few seasons, we are so close. We are so close in a similar situation. I think maybe a little bit better because we finish first on Champions League. But it's true that another club, like Manchester City, they improve a lot and the gap is massive. That is the reality.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Chris Tomacher and Dale Gordon were with you for the next 35 minutes or so. If you're just joining us, well, Dale Gordon and Tom, as a happy hammer, is delighted. Big win that for West Ham, Dale.
Massive win, Chris. It really was, and fully deserved, I must say. You know, West Ham going into the game of just, you know, on the back of a Manchester City performance, which gave them a little bit of hope going into another top of the table clash against a good Chelsea side who probably on the back of a indifferent performance against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. I think that West Ham, straight from the off, within the first 5 minutes, they really sort of pushed West Ham back. Antonio was always dangerous, taking a long throw in as well, putting Courtois under pressure in his 6-yard box. And it was Arnautovic. We talked about a villain going to a hero. You know, we haven't seen the best Arnautovic since his move, £25 million move from Stoke City in the summer. And it was him and little Lanzini who, for me, on the right-hand side, Zabaleta had the ball, just played it into Lanzini's feet. He played a little 1-2 with Zabaleta, with Arnautovic. And what I loved about Arnautovic, we know he's got power and strength, but he showed a lot of balance as well. Dropped his right-hand shoulder, opened his body up. The defender just went with him, just opened it up a little bit and just gave him that gap that he could just curl the ball past. I think it was Christensen, and then obviously Courtois couldn't get his hand to it to make it 1-0 to West Ham. Within the celebrations, he picked up a yellow card as well, Chris, for all his efforts, which was obviously later on in the game. David Moyes took him off after 70 minutes, going into the last, you know, 20 minutes of the game. Didn't want to obviously go down to 10-man. And Arnautovic probably may have made a little bit of ill discipline as well, you know, because obviously West Ham were on the back foot as well. Morata had the best chance for for Chelsea, without a shadow of a doubt. Within 94 minutes, came over his shoulder, half volley. Should have done a lot better with it as well, obviously, with his, you know, to add on to his 9 goals that he's got this season. Didn't take this chance. Just watching it again, the replay there, as you can see, Chris, he should have scored, really. But it would have been a little bit of injustice as well to Adrian, because I think Adrian's performance, you know, taken over from Joe Hart, who was dropped for this game. I think that his performance is obviously safe hands, didn't drop a single cross, or, you know, two or three of the saves he made in the first half as well were important. And West Ham got their 3 points. David Moyes got their 3 points. The West Ham supporters went home, Tom. Yes, they did. Some of them had to leave early to do the Christmas shopping, but they'll be absolutely delighted with that win. It was West Ham United 1, Chelsea 0.
And given the fact as well, Tom, we started the afternoon by talking about West Ham's horrible defensive record, they've kept a clean sheet today as well.
Yeah, and you know what this has done as well? It's given it's an important one for David Moyes, because he's proven himself at the moment, yeah, isn't he? He has to prove himself to the fans, and I think he's done that. He's done a big job there. He's also had to prove himself to football fans worldwide, you know, because he comes in under the cloud.
And the players as well, I think. And he's got them to buy in quickly. Mm. And I think what he's done, and I think maybe he's not been given enough credit for this, he's surrounded himself by tough men behind the scenes. Yeah. Stuart Pearce, Billy McKinley.
He's not tough.
Nickname Psycho for a reason. What he does... He doesn't demand respect. He gets respect anywhere he goes, does Stuart Pearce, for what he did in his footballing career. So by surrounding himself with men like that, which means that's an unforgiving, I would imagine, environment. If you're not pulling your weight at West Ham right now, you're not getting in.
I think, Chris, also as well, going in at 1-0, I think that you know, they wouldn't have gone in there and they would have got pats on the back. I think you're absolutely right. The likes of Stuart Pearce would, you know, and David Moyes, you know, as well, would have sat the players down and said, look, you know, it's 45 minutes gone, it's 0-0 as we go out, you know, and we need to dig deep. But they look fitter for me, Chris. Yeah. You know, what they've said, I've been reading the press in the last week, that the players have probably been doing double sessions, that he's getting an extra sort of like 20% out of certain individuals, where, you know, under Slaven, maybe, you know, just going through the motions to a tad. And I think that, you know, Arnautovic, who will be mentioned a number of times today, who scored an excellent goal, he really, really did. But his work rate, apart from him, obviously, we know what his ability is like on the ball, but it's his work rate as well, you know. And, you know, even Lanzini and at the back as well, Winston Reid was a lot more solid at the back there as well. But the goalkeeper made a difference. I think Adrian is really, I think... he's been a little bit unfortunate, really, I think, Adrian, because I do like him as a goalkeeper. I liked him last season, and I think that he got left out of a few games. And who is the goalkeeper, the reserve goalkeeper?
Darren Randolph,
who's now left and gone to Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
You know, he can probably count himself a little bit unfortunate that you know, Joe Hart has come into the club. They will play Joe Hart as a number one, but his performance has not been warranted the, you know, the number one choice. So Adrian's obviously taken that up, and his performance today will obviously make sure that he holds you know, those sticks in, you know, gloves in between the two sticks, you know, for the next remaining game. So it's a great result for West Ham. It really is.
I think it vindicates the decision as well. There's been a lot of chat going into this game saying, you know, apparently Moyes has been under pressure from the two Davids, but also under pressure from FIFA, because Joe Hart is seen to be England's number one, therefore he needs to be playing first team football, he's first choice, etc. But you know what, a really good observation made by somebody during the game on a tweet, just saying David Moyes doesn't care about that. David Moyes at the moment cares about West Ham. He doesn't care about England football.
Absolutely not. And neither
Scottish.
He should. And exactly. Neither he should, Tom. He is paid to look after the best interests of West Ham. And on this occasion, and moving forward after the performance that Adrian has produced today, he will feel that he is the number one, regardless of whether Joe Hart is battling for a World Cup place or is seen as England's number one. That is of no concern to David Moyes. So, you know, fair play to him. He stuck to his guns today. He's been rewarded by a big performance from Adrian. He's got his first win as West Ham boss. And West Ham now looking up as opposed to down. Yes, okay, they've moved into 18th. They're still in the relegation zone. But more than the 3 points today, it's the confidence with which those players now take. They know that if they stick to Moyes' plan, then they can get the result. And then building that trust between management and players is just as important at this stage, with the players rebuilding their trust with fans and getting those results on the field.
Yeah, I think the second featured game today as well, because the Spurs against Stoke game will be a tricky game as well for Tottenham, because we know how difficult that Tottenham have found playing at Wembley. And I think that, you know, it's been well publicised that West Ham have found it difficult to settle into the London Stadium. And maybe their away performances, like they did last week against Manchester City, probably, you know, taking a little bit of pressure off of playing in front of, like, you know, 50,000 home supporters. But, you know, you can see that this post-match interview going on at the moment, how important it was for him today. You know, Mark Noble is West Ham through and through, and it, nothing means more to that, you know, to a player than obviously Mark Noble. And I think that, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, David Moyes doesn't care about Joe Hart being number one. He has to plan. David Moyes has gone to that football club to keep West Ham United in the Premier League, without a doubt. And he's got until the summer to do that. And if he does it, he'll get his rewards, obviously, with a longer contract. And you could see that every single player, as well as Stuart Pearce, blasting the ball over the stand today, was obviously playing for the manager.
Mark and Marco talking to the team after the game at the moment over there. Looks like Marco Arnautovic is going to pick up the Man of the Match award. He did get a yellow card. He went straight. I suppose that shows a bit of the passion that there's being instilled. So he scores the goal, goes straight into the crowd, which, as we said, they're quite far away from the pitch. So he had to hurdle a couple of hurdles to get there. But my question to you is, he gets the yellow card because he goes in first. But if you look, there's about six players that follow him in. Mm. They don't get yellow cards, do they?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think he just
wants the first man in, is
he
it?
He had to get the last tube to get down to Oxford Street to get his Christmas shopping.
that shows
how much pressure that player has probably been under, because he realises that there's been a lot of bad press about the fella. You know, he was a controversial figure at Stoke. You know, they paid massive money for him, $25 million. You know, to go to West Ham, and they expect more from him.
Sent off on his debut, remember?
Sent off on his, and he looked a very, very sort of lonely soul as well, coming off the pitch. And I think that, you know, that is probably just a relief of somebody who has actually scored an unbelievable goal in front of his home supporters, how important it was against, you know, should we say, the champions as well.
Best team in Europe. Strongest team in Europe.
You know, and so...
The world,
you know,
at the moment.
Yeah. Anything else?
We're world beaters. David Moyes is a ledge. Say Moyes.
I think, as you can hear, listeners, that Tom Urquhart is a West Ham supporter.
What doubts on David Moyes? Where did that come from?
There was nobody doubting that appointment. Every single West Ham was on board that one.
We are going to go to a short break. When we come back, we are going to be live down to the Gulf to give you yet more updates from the latest Gulf a little earlier on. It's snowing in the UK.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Indeed, it is. We just had the culmination of the first game in the Premier League. Got a result. Dale Gordon to tell us which way it went.
Yeah, absolutely. West Ham United 1, Chelsea 0. Fully deserved by West Ham United. Arnautovic with his first home goal, should we say, for West Ham after 6 minutes. Fully deserved. Adrian outstanding in goal. Chelsea not really threatened too much, in, apart from Adrian, maybe two or three good saves. But overall, didn't really, for me, do enough in the game to get a result of it, out of it. David Moyes' first 3 points on the board, as well as West Ham United manager, drops Joe Hart, that we've just been talking off air there. The most important thing for David Moyes is to keep West Ham United within the Premier League. And if they play like that, as the whole team, and also Stuart Pearce, who volleys the ball over the top of the stand, I think West Ham will be okay.
Your Saturday afternoon rugby is underway. All games do go on despite the adverse weather that is hitting the UK at the moment. Scarlets against Benetton is the early kickoff in the European Rugby Champions Cup. Thriller as well. It's 21 apiece in that one in the second half. Meanwhile, Zebra taking on Gloucester in the European Rugby Challenge Cup. And Gloucester, despite their good form in the Aviva Premiership, trailing the European challengers today. Zebra 19-14 is the score. Still some time left in that game. I'll keep you up to date with the other games. Toulon against Bath kicks off at 7:15 this evening. Next up in the Challenge Cup is Sale Sharks against the Cardiff Blues. Worcester against Oyonnax. Newcastle Falcons take on Border Bagels. Edinburgh against London Irish. Brieve against Connaught. Those are the games in the Challenge Cup. In the Champions Cup, you've got Munster against Leicester as the late one. 11:45 that one. 9:30 kickoff in Northampton against Ospreys, also the same time for Castro against Racing, and as I said, Toulon against Bath off at 7:15 this evening. Right, let's get to the golf now, because plenty of golf going on locally. There's plenty of golf going on internationally as well. The QBE shootout. Do you know about the QBE shootout?
Taking place
over in Naples in Florida at the moment. I think it's one of these events they have on the American Tour where you play in pairs. Mm. It's a pairs shootout thing, so I'll bring you leaderboard up on that one. In fact, we'll probably get some more thoughts thoughts on that in just a little while. But there has been golf closer to home.
There has indeed, yes. The Omega Dubai Ladies Classic, formerly the Masters, the 11th staging of this event over the road at the Emirates Golf Club. It came to a conclusion a little earlier this afternoon. Our man Robbie Greenfield was down there to witness a first ever playoff in this competition. It was as well. It was won by Ann Hill Yin. We know all about her now, of course. She is American, 19 years of age, over €400,000 earned over the course of the past 12 months. And a little earlier, Robbie did get time with the winner, and he began by, well, asking her to describe her nerves in that playoff.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'm going up with the best against the best, Celine Herbin and Aiki Kim. Aiki had a great year this year, won the British by a mile, and won like two or three more events on an LPGA. So I know she's playing well, but I stuck with my plan, and I was able to pull it off.
You missed a short one on 17, didn't you, which must have been disappointing. And then 18, you had the incident with the water, yet you managed to come back into it and compose yourself. You're only 19. Yes. Where does that ability to compose yourself come from?
I think I have to own it to the whole year playing on LPGA and Solheim, mostly Solheim. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, not pressure, but a lot of just a lot of eyes on watching you. And with that, I feel like I coped with things better. And from that, I think that really helped me with here. And of course, earlier this year, I had the same situation. Went in the water in par 5, but I was able to hit a 2-iron to 3 feet and knock it in. So I was like, I can do it again. 17 was a miss, but I mean, I knew I had 18 in.
You look at some of the names on this trophy. Annika Sørenstam, Shan Shan Feng has won it 4 times. Mm-hmm. She's the world number one. What does it mean to put your own name alongside all those great players?
I mean, it's great to have my name next to all those great players like Lexi Thompson too. But for me, this is very important because it's my first professional win, like major tour professional win. And this is a really good note for me to end on 2017, because 2018 I know I'm going to do really well.
We're going to see you back here in 2018, right?
Yes, I'm going to win it like Shan Shan. I'm going to try to be like Shan Shan.
I've never understood how not just golfers, but sports people. I thought about this earlier on the week when I was listening to one of the cricket podcasts, how cricketers can remember every single innings that they played. Golfers can remember every single shot they play around a course.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's just... I don't know.
Del Gordon can remember every single pass he played.
I can. Well, wasn't many, but you can remember the goals. You can remember certain situations in games that, you know, were important, and you know, even now, what did you say?
Who are you? What am I doing here? That's what's been going on down at the Emirates Golf Club. Big thanks to Robbie for putting us in the picture there. Yeah, just to bring you up to date with other golf stories, Steve Stricker and Sean O'Hare produced a 15 under par 57 to take a one-stroke lead after the opening round of the QBE shootout in Naples, Florida. The duo opened with the 5 successive birdies in the scramble format of the golf course down at the Tiburon Golf Club down there. So it is this pairs format which is taking place down in Naples, and the other golf that's going on is the Joburg Open, which is taking place at the moment, and I'll bring you the leaderboard for that one in due course, because there is plenty going on there. The other big story from golf, which I just want to get your thoughts on, I didn't realise that Rory had parted company with JP.
Yes, that happened 6 weeks ago.
Maybe it is two months ago. Time flies.
Parted.
Reason?
Reason was just felt that it was better that he go not alone. He will have a new bag man that will be carrying his clubs and offering his expertise. But JP, he lives here. I've seen him out and about a few times. Not wanted
bit
to go
more
up
these days.
A little bit more these days. Yeah, he's obviously banked considerable sums of money working for Rory McIlroy over the past decade.
His best friend on the bag at the moment.
It is. Yeah, and there was the news coming out today, wasn't it, that it was his best friend and he's going to give him more tournament time.
Is he really? Yeah, I didn't see that story. That, yeah. I think I'll reserve judgment on that one. He's given his best mate the bag. I'm not sure if that's the way forward. But listen, Rory. This is a big year, a huge year, monumental year for Rory McIlroy in 2018. There has been some suggestions that, he's taken his eye off the ball, so to speak, and that perhaps golf is no longer the most important thing in his life. He will, of course, if he was sat here, would reject that notion. But a lot of pressure on Rory McIlroy. Robbie was getting a little excited yesterday when he saw his schedule. He's posted up his schedule for the first 3 months. He's a busy old boy, is Rory. He's signed up for an awful lot of tournaments. He'll be up in Abu Dhabi for the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. He'll be down for the Omega Dubai Desert Classic as well. They're back-to-back this year. Then he's off to the States, and then he's travelling around. So Rory will be busy at the start of 2018. It is a big year, a huge year, with Jordan Spieth very much in the mix, Justin Thomas as well, Dustin Johnson as well, the world number one. So Rory needs a big year. He needs to get back to the form that we saw a couple of years back, because for me, still, on his day, he is the world's best, but he hasn't been showing that in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it is Harry Diamond who's been retained into 2018. A source close to the pair have confirmed to BBC Northern Ireland, which saying that the duo's partnership will continue in 2018. So interesting to see how that one develops.
Yes.
Jobs for the boys.
It's a little bit like that, yes. We will wait to see. I'm intrigued by that one, I really am.
Your thoughts, please, do get them into us on 4001 if you'd like to have your say. I haven't got your boys' thoughts on what's been going up in north of the border, obviously, where Chris hails from and where Dale played a bit of his football as well during his playing days. Problems at Rangers, is that right?
Yeah, massive problems at Rangers. Pedro Chiquinha sacked 6 weeks ago. They took their time deliberating over who they felt was the man to take the club forward. They eventually approached Derek McInnes, a player that spent 5 years at Ibrox, managed Aberdeen for the past 4.5 years. And, you know, I thought it was inevitable that he would pack his bags and head on down. He's done a great job up at Pittodrie, up in the northeast of Scotland. And, you know, Rangers are a massive club, only Celtic. And this will probably not sit well with Dale. Only Celtic are bigger. And I mean that just given where Celtic now are compared to where Rangers are.
Agreed.
But he's taken the decision to turn down their advances. And that is a huge snub. That is making front and back page headlines in Scotland, because, well, it's been a long while since an Aberdeen player or manager has turned down the chance to move to Rangers. Rangers are just a massive club, bigger budget, bigger club, let's be frank, despite the fact that I am a Dons fan. But a huge coup that for Aberdeen, the fact that he is sticking around. Where Rangers go from here now, Dale, it's, Rangers fans rightly are asking some serious questions.
Are you really that surprised, though, Chris, that he did turn down? I think if you look in the summer as well, he was given permission to talk to Sunderland.
Yep.
Which he felt that wasn't the right time for him to move there. With the West Brom job as well, being an ex-West Brom player as well.
He's linked
with that one, that particular job as well. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, apart from, you know, obviously Celtic and Rangers, Aberdeen are your third sort of like,
third team in
Scotland, without a doubt. You know, and what he has achieved at that football club with the budget that he has got has been incredible. And I think that being an ex-Rangers player, to turn it down, it's just a massive, massive surprise. I think that Stuart McCall was given the opportunity to go to Glasgow Rangers on the back of, I think it was at Sheffield United, and he went back to the club, and he'd done reasonably well, Stuart did. You know, again, with Ali McCoy's ex-Rangers player, done fantastically well with the club to bring him all the way back through from Div 3 back to the Premier League. And then, you know, so they've been linked with one or two ex-players, and I just think the Derek McInnes one would have been absolutely perfect for Rangers Football Club at this present moment in time, especially with what Brendan Rodgers has been doing at Celtic.
I wonder if he's looked at it, Dale, and again, I'm only surmising here, but I wonder if he's looked at it and he's thought, I'm not quite sure of what's going on at boardroom level. I'm not quite sure if the funds are there for me to do what I need to do in order to catch Celtic. And he's looking at it and thinking, you know, I don't want to be the manager that oversees a Rangers football club when inevitably Celtic win 10 in a row. Celtic are going to get there.
Yeah, and also as well, look how they treated Mark Warburton as well. You know, and maybe a little bit like for like, if things don't go quite so well, and you're absolutely right, boardroom reshuffles and unrest within that, you know, within those four walls. I don't think it's really what he wants at the moment, because as well as going to Rangers and hope, you know, from his own personal point of view, he would want to go there and do well and break the mould of Celtic. But also as well, it could be a detriment to his, you know, he's 46 years old, to further his career as well, because I can't see Derek McInnes staying within the Scotland.
No, he'll move
scene.
Again.
He'll move again and possibly come back down to England.
Yeah, I think so. He had the little spell at Bristol City that did not go well for him after a great tenure at St Johnstone, where he really harnessed his reputation. Went down south. He admits himself he made one or two mistakes. He brought in one or two players that I never felt were right for the championship in England. He's went back up. He's rebuilt his reputation, and the job he's done. What will hinge on Derek McInnes, though, staying long term at Aberdeen, will be this big vote that is upcoming regarding a new football stadium, a new training centre in Aberdeen.
Right.
That they want to move away from Pittodrie. They want to move to an all-purpose stadium, because right now, and this might surprise one or two individuals, Aberdeen currently train at an army barracks. They don't have their own training ground. They're jumping on coaches, ferries them from Pittodrie in the mornings up to the army barracks. Yeah. I'm led to believe the conditions for a professional football club, not the best. Yeah. So
where do you see it? Right, so let's leave Aberdeen. So where do you see Glasgow Rangers now in the managerial stakes? I'm totally
Graham
lost.
Murty. Graham Murty is going to, the caretaker boss is going to stay in charge at least until the new year. I wouldn't rule him out being there until the end of the season, and then assess where managers are at the end of a campaign. Alex McLeish is mentioned, as he has been over the last few months.
Foreign manager again?
No, not at all. No. If Pedro Chichinha is the be-all and end-all in terms of their contact book, then I suggest to them that they stay in-house or stay at least in Scotland or in the British Isles, because he was a mitigating disaster. Mm. So he was. And I think Graham Murty right now, who is the best man for that job? Graham Murty right now, because Rangers not going to win the
name, though.
They're not going to win the league, Dale. No. This season's, I mean, what success for them now? A good cup run, maybe winning the Scottish Cup, finishing second. That's all they can hope for. You know, and again, there'll be maybe Rangers fans that are listening this afternoon thinking, what are you talking about? There's a whole season to play. We can still win the league. That would be optimistic at best. You know, even the most hardened of fan would realise that Celtic, it's their title to lose once again. So for me, give it to Murty, assess the situation in the summer.
Yep.
Your thoughts would be appreciated on this one. We've got bad weather over in the UK at the moment.
Do we? Shock.
Yeah, it is snowing, apparently. There was talk a little earlier on that could pose something of a risk to a couple of the games tomorrow, none more so than the big derbies taking place tomorrow. But a couple of games have been postponed in the United Kingdom as a result of the snow. There was a game last night up in Scotland, wasn't there? Inverness, Caledonian Thistle had to be postponed, that one.
All games. Any games that do not have... And in Scotland, you'll find that that not many pitches have undersoil heating in Scotland, unfortunately, Tom. But this time of year, and I'm not going to bore you with this story.
I do.
But this, it's
the... You have the last 2.5
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, I know. We've got no listeners left, Dale.
Come.
But these are the reason, though. This is another reason why Scottish football needs to swallow its pride and move to a summer league. This is the time of year. The pitches are a nonsense. It's cold. It's wet. And you know,
is that why you live here, Chris?
It's a big reason why I live here. You well know that, Dale. But Scottish football, literally, gone are the days of it going toe-to-toe with its English its English counterparts. We need to acknowledge Scottish football now needs to become a summer league. We have to play when it's at least a semblance of sunshine. The pitches have a little bit of grass on them, because right now they're mud patches. It's a horrible environment to be in, and that's why we have so many games called off.
I'm sure the players will appreciate them having time off in the winter months instead of having
weeks. They won't like
come
it.
Come out here.
Well, that's another option. Yes.
What, move the entire Scottish
to Dubai? No, I'm just meaning that gives them the opportunity at the festive period.
That would be
to pop
an exhibition match.
You imagine Scottish football in Dubai.
We have got plenty to look forward to in the Premier League to this afternoon. Stay tuned. Coming up just after 7 o'clock, you've got Tottenham against Stoke, and then Newcastle against Leicester.
Yeah, just very, very quickly, some reaction to that West Ham win a little earlier on. Chelsea beaten by a 0-0. Marko Arnautovic, the man on the score sheet. Antonio Conte has said some very interesting things over the course of the past few moments. He has said that Chelsea's title race is over, and crucially, make of this what you will, he then adds, it never started. So I wonder if that's a little dig at his players. I think as well, I'll put my neck on the line, I did it earlier, I was right, by the way, I did fancy West Ham to get a result. Antonio Conte will not be Chelsea boss next season.
Do you think he will take up the
AC Milan job
or the Italian
national job? Maybe he goes back to Italy, but from what I've been told is he's already had talks with AC Milan in London about taking over that football club in the summer. And I just don't see him. I think it's inevitably it's going to be a parting of ways with Conte and Chelsea.
Quick out score update from the rugby for you. Scarlets against Benetton, still 21 apiece in that one, but Gloucester have taken the lead in the European Rugby Challenge Cup early kickoff against Zebre. They're away at Zebre. Zebre 19, Gloucester 28 at the moment for that one, so we'll keep an eye on those for you. Can't let you boys go without predictions for tomorrow. We were talking to Adam Bridge, weren't we, about the derbies, the Manchester derby, the Merseyside derby as well. Which way do you see them going?
I will go with two draws. I will sit on the fence. I think Sam Allardyce has had a reaction from his Everton boys. As good as the Fab Four, Firmino, Coutinho, Mane and Salah have been, I expect Everton to be that little bit more organised, similar to what we saw West Ham do against Manchester City. So I'm expecting Everton to get something from that match. They've not got a happy hunt. It's not been a happy hunting ground, certainly recently has Anfield. But I do think Everton will get a result. Oh, jeepers, Manchester United need a win. City win it, the title's all but theirs. I'll go for a draw on that one as well. Two draws for me.
Okay, sitting on the fence there, Chris. I will go, after my fantastic prediction today that I said that Chelsea had too much for West Ham. So I will go a four. I'll go for a United win. I'll keep you happy. Yeah, I just think United, for me, I think Jose will come out on top and the battle of Jose and Pep. So I'm going for a United win and also as well, you won't be surprised to hear this, Chris, that I'm going to go for an Everton win.
An Everton away win?
Yep. Wow, I think Sam will has hit the ground running.
That's a bold
fill in that pool's coupon now, please. Away wins all the way. Southampton against Arsenal kicks off tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Liverpool against Everton is kicking off at 6:15. And then the big one, the Manchester Derby, 8:30. It couldn't have come out at a better time, couldn't it? Going into this festive period, a lot of games of football. And I mean, are we over-egging this one?
No.
We're saying that this is a title decider almost in December?
With 8 points clear, if City come away from Old Trafford, given the fact Chelsea have lost today and they were third, so if I look at it, I'm going to just quickly check, Tom, before we leave tonight. So with a win for City tomorrow, that would put them 11 points clear of Manchester United. It would put them, they're already 11, 14 points clear of Chelsea, and even with a Liverpool win tomorrow, they'd be 14 points clear of third place and 11 clear of second. Give them the title now if they win tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if City do win tomorrow, that's theirs to lose. And I can't see them dropping, like Chris said, 11 points, 14 points away from Chelsea. You just can't see him doing that. And also as well, what Pep will do, he will strengthen as well, because I think for me, they are the team for me in the Champions League as well.
Yeah.
Fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure. We got to go. We've got Tottenham against Stoke coming your way, so stay tuned for that one. Not before I say a big thank you to Dale Gordon to my left. Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Chris.
Big thanks to Chris McCarty to my right. Thank you very much.
Tom, before we go, predictions from you tomorrow?
I don't do predictions.
Come on.
I'm not good at them. A Manchester win and a Mersey win, I reckon.
Very good.
For either of those teams. We will, of course, have all that for you tomorrow with the Sports Tonight team. But for now, big thanks to Ben, to Hector, to all the team back here at Barasti. We're back here between 3 and 6 next week. We're here till 4 till 7. New times, Tom. Get it right. Do stay tuned. You've got TalkSport and all the team bringing you all the latest from the Premier League live here on Dubai at I-103.8. Next up is Tottenham against Stoke. Bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiI1038.com.